Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Thus far the reading. Today again our readings proclaim to us, as the Lord had proclaimed to his people of old, that God can do all that he promises. Our readings speak of God's mercy and God's justice, even the things that are bigger than life. For even in these things, the Lord offers the sign of Emmanuel as a sign that we are loved by him and that we have been set apart by faith. We rejoice today that Jesus is Emmanuel. We rejoice in the truth that God is with us. And if God is with us, it stands to reason that he is for us. And as Paul told the Roman church, if God is for us, if God is for you, I'm asking you, is it okay to ask congregation questions in church? This is a test of the emergency broadcasting system. This is only a test. If God is for you, can anyone or anything be against you? If God is for you, no one can be against you. Good job. You passed. Nice job. You can go. Thanks for coming. No, just kidding. Don't go, please. In the days of Isaiah the prophet, a king of Judah, Ahaz, did not believe these basic truths. He didn't believe that God was with him, so therefore God was for him, and his enemies couldn't be against him because he didn't really believe in God. In our Old Testament reading today, the Lord sent Isaiah to Ahaz with words intended to encourage him. But if he would not turn from his ways and believe that God is for his people, then these same words would judge and convict him. And so just prior to our readings today, Isaiah began by talking to Ahaz, saying, if you're not firm in faith, you won't be firm at all. The northern kingdom of Israel had joined forces with Syria in order to wage war against Judah and against Jerusalem, so that the heart of Ahaz and the hearts of the people, that the reading says, if you read, you know, if you go back further, that the hearts of Ahaz and the people shook like the trees of the forest when hit with a Nebraska wind. The Bible didn't really say the Nebraska wind. I just slid that in there. So the Lord said to Isaiah, go out and meet Ahaz and say to him, do not fear. These things will not come to pass. The Lord would spare Jerusalem at that time from attack. And if only his people would humble themselves, if they would pray, if they would seek the face of God and turn from their wicked ways, then he would hear from heaven, and he would forgive their sin, and he would heal their land. But Ahaz would not. Isaiah said, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Ask anything, a sign to prove that God can do what he says he will do. You name it. How about, you want to see me part the Red Sea again like I did when I saved my people from Pharaoh? Or how about this one? This is always a crowd pleaser. How about fire from heaven? That one was a good one. In the days of Elijah, when I sent fire from heaven, turned my people back to me and destroyed 450 prophets of Baal. What will it take for God's people and their king to believe that God can truly do what he says he's going to do, and even deliver you from your enemies, no matter how scary they may be? The Lord had offered faith in the promised Messiah. The Lord even allowed Ahaz to attach his faith to a condition named by himself, so that his excuse for unbelief, well, all of his excuses of unbelief might be taken from him. But Ahaz refused God's mercy, pretending instead to have faith already. I won't put God to the test. Far be that from me, he quipped, if you will. But his words were just a cover-up. He had already made arrangements with Assyria to form an alliance, trusting in his political plans rather than trusting in God to deliver. But in his lying to God, Ahaz made himself more loathsome than if he had just come right out and, well, just along, if he had come out openly and done his blasphemy and his mockery without lying about it. For if you are firm in faith, if you're not firm in faith, you're not firm in anything. Ahaz was just a politician who had learned how to play the game. The scriptures say that in the beginning of his reign, he walked in the way of unfaithful kings of Israel. When the heathens seemed to be the majority, Ahaz broke God's commandment, even burning his own son in the fire according to the abominations of the heathens. Ahaz would do whatever it took to stay on top or to get on top. Having been defeated by Damascus, he turned around and sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, figuring in his heart that, well, if the gods of Syria were helped by these gods, maybe they'll help me. One of those, you know, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine kind of scenarios. In his politics, Ahaz went with whomever wielded the most power at the time. And so Isaiah rebuked him, saying, if you're not firm in your faith, you're not firm at all. Isaiah seemed to be getting tired of the whole scenario. He seemed to be tired of trying to convince Ahaz of God's faithfulness. Is it too little for you to weary man that you have to weary my God also? It's one thing to resist man. It's quite another thing to resist the Lord. The sign of Emmanuel was offered to Ahaz in mercy. But God with us can also mean judgment for the one who resists God. Isaiah had spoken of the Lord's desire and his ability to protect the people against the attack of these two foreign kings. But Ahaz refused to believe. Even as Isaiah told him that, did you ever wonder about that whole curds and honey and that all that scenario? In the time that it would take for a child to grow to adolescence, the northern kingdom and Syria would indeed be destroyed. The Assyrians did attack. They did defeat the two enemies of Ahaz. So Ahaz probably figured his plan's good. But they wouldn't stop there. The Assyrians wouldn't stop there. They would also sweep into Judah like a flood. Assyria would dominate the entire region, for they were the Lord's hand against the Lord's enemies. But the sign of Emmanuel meant mercy and justice for those who held fast to God's promise. God would indeed be with them. But the sign of Emmanuel wasn't just for them, wasn't just for the people of Judah and Jerusalem, but for all people in all times. The sign of Emmanuel is also for you and for me. Even today. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel characterizes the person, the essence, and the work of Jesus, the Messiah. The son of the virgin, conceived and born true human being without sin, is at the same time true almighty and eternal God, manifest in the flesh. Jesus is the true Savior. He is the protector, and he is the helper of all people. But if one is not firm in faith, one is not firm at all. During the Assyrian attack, God would be with his people, his faithful people. During the Assyrian attack, others would turn from their sin and turn back toward God, and they would find out that he had been there all along. He would restore them. And yet the prophecy of the sign of Emmanuel would find fulfillment not in those days, but in future generations. The virgin would conceive and bear a son. It wasn't just a nice flowery metaphor, something you'd put on a Christmas card. It really happened. The son whose name proclaims that God himself is with us, Emmanuel. The sign's not just a sign of Judah's temporal deliverance from temporal enemies and a divided kingdom. The Lord intended eternal salvation from eternal enemies. He intended that be offered to all people, including you and I. For in the sign of Emmanuel, there is but one kingdom, one united kingdom, and not the United Kingdom that's crossed the sea. I just thought of that after I said it. I was like, nah, that's not what I meant. One kingdom, the kingdom of God, a part that we are all a part of. And if one is not firm in faith, one is not firm at all. Ahaz, a king of the house of David, had rejected the sign of Emmanuel, but there would be another. This later house of David would be embodied in the man Joseph of Nazareth. He would believe the sign of Emmanuel. Joseph was firm in his faith. And it's a good thing, because his faith in God would be the only thing that could help him make sense of the circumstances that Mary placed before him. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. The angel Gabriel had told Mary that it would happen that way, and she trusted the Lord that the Lord would take care of him, or her, I'm sorry, in all circumstances. She trusted the Lord to protect her life, as these very things could have meant her being stoned to death. Mary trusted that her hopes, even though her hopes and dreams of marriage might forever be replaced by single parenthood, she trusted the Lord to work out the details of her life. Her firm faith in God proved to be critical at every juncture of her life. But have you ever wondered? I used to wonder how Mary knew. How did she know that angel that just showed up at her door or at the garden or wherever she was praying at the time, how did she know that angel was actually an angel of the Lord? We just kind of take that, well, we trust the Bible, but how did she know? How did she know it wasn't someone else? Perhaps someone from the other team. Luke 1:28 says that the angel Gabriel came to her and said, "Greetings." So far, so good. "Greetings. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Emmanuel." The angel gave Mary the sign of Emmanuel. The Lord is with you. And her faith is firm. A faith in the Lord would prove to be critical at every juncture in the life of her betrothed as well. In our Old Testament reading, Matthew writes that Joseph was a just man. He respected God's laws, held them near and dear to his heart. But in the face of the evidence, Mary's story was beyond the average man's ability to believe. When he put her story up alongside God's law, they didn't fit. There was a problem. Nevertheless, in his great love for God's law, in his great love for his betrothed, he found a way out of this difficult dilemma presented by Mary. A quiet cancellation of the betrothal. A quiet cancellation without assigning a cause. There would be a catch for him. By not assigning a cause to the cancellation of the betrothal, he might be throwing himself under the bus, so to speak. He might be criticized or even labeled as unfaithful to her, as the men of old who had pressured Moses into allowing them to write a certificate of divorce, but that didn't seem to even come into his thinking. To him, it seemed to be the only way that Mary's life and the life of her child might be saved. His plan seemed sound: justice tempered with mercy. In his humanness, Joseph, like Ahaz, did what he could to make the best out of a bad situation. But unlike Ahaz, Joseph would trust God's sign of promise. For as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary to be your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call him Jesus. You will give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet from our Old Testament reading, the prophet Isaiah. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. For nothing is impossible with God." I just gave the answer away. I asked the preschoolers last week, Preschoolers, can you hear me? Is anything too hard for God? They're not listening. There's nothing too hard for God. Have you ever been in a situation beyond your ability to control? Have you ever been in a situation beyond your ability to comprehend? Were you ever in a situation where there seemed to be no obvious solution? Quick story. I tried to think, have I ever been in something like that? A couple years ago, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was out fishing. It was a nice day, kind of hot. But all the people around me started to leave. I thought, that's interesting. Some of you know this story. Some of you lived this story with me. The air got cold. I thought, man, this feels pretty good. But maybe I should head back, because Nebraskans have told me that when the weather turns like that, I should probably head for shelter. So I fired up the motor and I headed back, and we're cruising along, and I'm thinking, this is good. I'm getting home just in time, and started to sprinkle. No problem. All of a sudden, it started to blow. The wind started to blow. Started to rain harder. Next thing I know, the waves are higher than my 12-foot boat. The wind was, it took everything I had to keep the boat from tipping over. And I'm thinking, this must be what it was like for the disciples when Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat. Don't you care that I'm about to perish? And I'm thinking, and I'm praying, Lord, calm the storm. He didn't calm the storm. But I said, well, Lord, I can see the sunshine there, but I can't catch it. It's moving faster than my boat will go. Show me a way to get, if you've seen the south shore of Swanson Lake, it's covered with trees. It's like, man, I don't want to mess with that. You try to fish there and you get all tangled up. Well, I certainly don't want to run a boat in there. Lord, show me a spot. Well, I saw a spot and I started working toward it. And, your angle changes and the view changes. Long story short, there was nothing I could do to control it. It was all in God's mercy. He got me safely to shore, soaking wet. I'm here. But there wasn't a thing I could do to change the scenario. There wasn't a thing I could do to fix what was wrong. Have you ever been in a situation beyond your control? Even in these things that are bigger than life, the Lord offers the sign of His Emmanuel. He was with me the whole time. He was with me the whole time. He didn't answer the prayer the way I wanted it, but He never left me. He may not answer your prayer the way you want it answered, but He won't leave you. Jesus died on a cross so that even in these things, even when He doesn't answer the way you ask, He's with you. So who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or Nebraska storm or an Assyrian army? Shall anything separate you from the love of Christ? No, thank you for that. In all these things, you are more than conquerors through Him who loves you. So I encourage you to stand firm. Stand firm in your faith, for God is with you. And God is for you, even on the times when it doesn't feel like it. He is for you, and He is with you. And because God is for you, nothing and no one can stand against you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.